super strong, supernatural, and super bad. His punch can topple a skyscraper. His kick can split the earth in two. More destructive than an earthquake, mightier than a tidal wave. A one-man disaster area.
42nd Street Pete.
Shot full of lead and he still ain't dead. Jump back, Jack, for your skull is cracked.
42nd Street Pete.
Well, first off, Merry Christmas. Not Happy Holidays, not Season's Greetings, but Merry Christmas. And I know that a lot of people working in retail weren't allowed to say Merry Christmas. They were told they had to say Happy Holiday. And that's, I'm not going to say the person's name or the store that they can work for because I'm going to get them in trouble. But you know something? I don't know who's behind the scenes, who's pulling whose chain, who's pushing whose buttons, whatever, but this politically correct thing, and I've always said this, you can roll it up, wad it up, throw some witch hazel on it, wipe your ass with it, because that's what it is, all right? Christmas celebrates the birth of Christ, whether you believe in Christ, whether you're Catholic, whatever. That is the holiday. And why do I get the funny feeling that maybe 10 years down the road it's going to be called the holiday? It's fucking weird. But anyway, this is Christmas Day night. And I guess you people didn't think I'd be doing a show. We'd rerun something or something like that. But I just felt the urge to come on and wish people Merry Christmas. Because that's what it's all about. And I'm sure I'll degenerate into something else stupid, you know, within the next half hour or so. But until then, I do want to wish certain people personally, in public, a Merry fucking Christmas. And being that it's my show, being that I just took my mother to church, and now I am home. It is 8:39 my time. I just drank a glass of wine, smoked half a joint. I'm fucking mellow, and being mellow is truth serum. So I want to wish Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, and all the best in life to certain people. Number one is my producer here who's sitting here. So face-to-face, Todd, Merry fucking Christmas, dude. If it wasn't for you, none of this shit would fucking work. And people don't appreciate the time and effort you put in and the out-of-pocket expenses you put in to keep this thing going in the hope that, you know, this outlaw fucking station will get discovered and maybe, you know, get its place, you know, alongside of something where it's going to draw some money and make us some money down the road. So, you know. Well.
Thank you. Yeah.
Wow, and man, you've been a great friend, and I know sometimes I'm a fucking out-of-control pain in the ass, but hey, that's on my fucking resume, so you know, you knew that going in.
Damn right. I wouldn't have you any other way, man.
I know, so, you know, Merry Christmas, dude, and all the best to you.
Merry Christmas
yours.
To you, man, for real. We're going to have a hell of a new year, I think.
Yeah. And my next person is Mike Razzo up at Pop Cinema, Alternative Cinema, and every other weird-ass fucking name he comes up with for companies. So, dude, we tried something. It works. It's still working. Yeah, things are slow. Yeah, we're facing what seems to be at times insurmountable odds. But you know something? Sooner or later, I always win. So going in with that, dude, you know, we're doing good shit. We're giving the people what they want. We're taking our fucking lumps along the road. I think a lot more than other people have taken lumps. But we're still going. And like, you know, what you said, you know, the fuck you threesome, whatever the hell we were calling ourselves that night. So, no, it was like we don't give a fuck trio. Yeah, that's what we were calling ourselves. And also out to Joe Colbeck, who shoots, edits, and sometimes mutilates my stuff. The kid's good. He's got a good head for the business. He knows what people want. He's done a few things, Blood, Sex, Nightmare, and I can't remember the last one he's doing, but I'm supposed to be in one of them. And like I said, the kid's got a good eye, and he's good people, and he's a good friend, and Merry Christmas, dude. And let's see, who else? Ernie and the boys up north that helped me out with this little Christmas thing, and we go back a lot of years, and we're both doing the same thing at one point. Dude, you really surpassed me, and I couldn't be happier for you. And thank you for your enduring friendship. And you know, I'm there if you need me, and I know you're there if I need you, and it's all cool, dude. So to you and yours, very Merry Christmas, and all your boys up there. And let's see, who else as I sip this shit? To my daughters, Serena and Catherine. Sometimes you two are the only reason I keep going with this shit, because when all else fails, you two are there to drive me crazy. And I know you two care about each other, and I know you care about me, and I care deeply about you, and, you know, you're fucking family, and that's what it comes down to. And I know we're all going through those fucking rough bumps right now with shit, and but you'll be okay, and I'll be okay, because you'll be there. So all good, girl. So Serena and Catherine, all the best. And I know you're out there partying right now, so God bless, and just be safe, all right? And let's see, who else? Oh, there's just so many fucking people, dude. You know, they're really cool. Mike Watt and Amy Lynn Best, two of the coolest people out there. They do great stuff. They don't get the credit they deserve. They really, really work hard at what they do. And, you know, again, like all of us, we take a lot of lumps. But, you know, something, those two keep on going. And they're like, you know, always cool with me, and I'm always there for them. They need me. And, you know, it's great. You know, it's always great to see them out at Wasteland. And speaking about Wasteland, I can be remiss if I ever forgot Ken and Pam out there, who, you know, basically gave me a home. You know, when all else went down on the East Coast and everything started to suck, they, you know, Pete, get your ass out here, because, you know, this is where it is. This is where the spirit is. And they were right. And I kicked myself in the ass for taking as long as I fucking did to get out there. But, you know, I got out there, and it's home, man. It's like, you know, the people are great, and everybody's great out there. It's just, you know, thrilled to death every time I go out there. It just, you know, gives me another reason to keep going, in other words, shitty world. So to Ken and Pam, and I know Ken will probably be on next week when we do this three-hour clusterfuck we're planning. So, guys, I wish you the best. Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, and all the best in life. And speaking of the best in life, made a good friend over the last year in Beverly out in California, and we talk all the time now, and, you know, she gets it. It's weird, but she fucking gets it. You know, she gets what it's about. So she sees it for what it is, and I, you know, I love her to death for that. And she's cool people, very cool lady, and I really want to get out there and meet her. And I know she's got a daughter. I know her daughter was having a little problem, but if you're listening to this, there's no loss of independence in what's going down. It's called survival, and your mom's just glad to have you around. And, you know, I know you're cool because your mom's cool, so don't sweat it. It's okay. Just, you know, get out of your situation and get into a better, you know, just coast until you get into a better one, because, you know, it happens, you know. There's no sense in staying on a sinking ship, as I always said, because I fucking dove off a lot myself, so that's yeah. Cool. So to you guys, very Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. And let's see, who else? To someone else I basically had a chat with last few days, and I hope that she understood, you know, finally, you know, what's going on. And that's to Danielle out in Long Island. And she doesn't understand her own self-worth, and I'm just hoping what I try to tell her sunk in, because she is a very good lady, and she's, you know, she has a lot of potential, and she's just hitting the fucking brick wall at this time. And, you know, it's hard. You know, a lot of people go through shit, but, you know, she just has to realize that she's better than all that. And sometimes you got to throw off that fucking blanket of suffocation and take a deep breath and find out, you know, who your friends are, where you want to be, and what you want to do, because life's too short. Fucking embrace it. So, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, and I hope this is the year you just break out of whatever is going on and start to live again. Gee, who else? The mighty grim and ghastly Griff, who's a real good friend, a good guy, a great fan, you know, love him to death. And, you know, one of the coolest guys I know. So to you and to your intended, because we're actually going to have a wedding next week, correct?
Yeah, we are next Saturday. And when we relaunch,
this will be actually probably the first Jackalope wedding.
It will, yep.
Yeah. And you'll be doing the honors, I hear.
Yep, that's what I hear. It's going to be pretty interesting, for to say the least.
Yeah. You've never done it on the air, right?
Nope. It's a first.
Oh, you know something? Oh, fuck. Did you hear Dave Young got in a car accident?
Yeah, I did. Is he doing okay? What's happening?
I don't know. I called him. He ain't picking up his cell phone. But, you know, hey, Dave, you know, hope you're all right, and you ain't fucked up and shit, because, you know, we don't want to lose one of our own, you know. And it's like, you need any help, dude, you know, just fucking dial that number. You know,
exactly.
Fine, not odds, because I'm closer. So
yeah, either way, we'll come through.
But,
for
you know, you need something, dude. You know, we're there for you. We always have been, always will be. So just give us a shout.
For sure.
Yeah. And, oh, another thing, a very happy birthday to the Colonel David Friedman. I was really worried about Dave. I was trying to contact him. Nobody was picking up the phone. I finally got a hold of his niece, Micah, that told me he was very sick. He was in a hospital. He's now in some kind of rehabilitation center. You know, the man, I believe he's 88 today. He turned 88 today. And I know he's sharp as a tack, but, you know, unfortunately, we all get old and this shit happens. And I can only wish him, you know, the best. And, you know, and was an honor. It is an honor to, you know, have known Dave and call him my friend and, you know, stay in contact with him. And, you know, the man is just an institution. You know, he's just a one-man institution.
Yep, yep.
And, from all of us here at the Grindhouse, a very happy birthday and a very happy and peaceful new year. And also shout out to Ted B. Michaels, who I spoke to this week. Ted's another guy in his 80s, and he's still making movies. He's working on Astro Zombies 4, I believe. And the trailer up at tvmichaels.com, I believe you can watch. You can check out a trailer. And I told Ted, you know, we got to have you back on, you know, talk about this stuff. Because Ted's another one. He's another legend in the business. Another one-man institution, producer, director, you know, special effects man, bongo player, magician, you know. He's done it all.
That's true. Yeah. That's, he's in the New Fangoria this month, I think.
Is he?
Yeah.
Hope they fucking paid him something. He needs the bread, man.
John Waters did a big article on him.
Yeah, Ted's one of a kind. And he's, like I said, he's still making movies. He's still doing this shit. And who? Oh, Gary Clark. Another friend. I haven't talked to him in a while. I got a hold of him. I want to wish his wife, Carol, a happy birthday because she's a Christmas Eve birthday girl. And so is my ex-wife, Ann. I know she don't listen to my show, but, you know, she's my ex-wife. And, you know, actually, we still keep in touch and we're still friends because we started out as friends before we got married and fucked that all up. But, you know, it's different paths we take in life. And she's still been there for me and I try to be there for her if she needs me, so. God bless. I'm pretty fucking mellow tonight. I should stop drinking. This wine's too good. I haven't bitched anybody out yet.
But that's good. It's Christmas, man. One day out of the year, you can not cuss somebody out.
Trying to think. I'm missing somebody. to all the people at WSU, you know, Ray Sager, the Mick, all the girls, especially like Amy, Angel, Mercedes, the Bell Saints, just Jan, everybody there is just so fucking cool. And it's just, you know, it's one of those things that actually works and there's never any, you know, infighting or bullshit. And if there is, it ends real fucking quick because it's that kind of a place. And everybody, you know, works their ass off. And as I say, we're trying to get a hold. I got a hold of Angel. Angel will be on, I believe, on the 13th and earlier the Saturday after that. And we're trying to get Mercedes at the same time because this is called the final chapter. It's going to be back on that pay-per-view, that Go Fight Network, and it's going to be January 22nd. And somehow, you know, we talked about this when we were talking about the belt that she was going to make, that belt she came up with recognized.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know what happened because I'm not getting any straight answers from anybody, but I'm not, you know, on the inside with this, but they're going to have one final match. This is called the final chapter, and it's going to be a ladder match. Winner take all.
Wow.
And the really, you know, frightening thing about it is Angel broke both of her ankles in a ladder match with Sumi Sakai years ago.
Wow. Yeah, so you've got to be careful.
Yeah. And I know the premise of the ladder match is basically that they put the belt over the ring and you have to, you know, there's a ladder in the ring. You're going to climb the ladder to get the belt down. Well, of course, you know, the ladder comes into play as a weapon.
Right.
So it's a very dangerous type thing. And I've already seen the ladder they have up there. So remember when I had to get it out of the ring because.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. Yeah, it's going to, I don't even know what the undercard is, but I think it's. Jessica Havoc, of course, Amy's going to be there, the Cosmo Club. But we're definitely going to have, you know, a couple weeks before because, you know, our window time is short on this one because of the holidays and shit. Try to have some of the girls back on again, you know, to tell us what's going on. And we can get Mercedes and Angel on at the same time. That might be real interesting. So that's what we're shooting for, depending on schedules. But, you know, what the hell? It's going to be interesting. And, you know, like I said, we're trying to do, you know, some different shit, you know, this year. segue into things. I mean, you said we got a forum now where people can leave messages and tell me to go fuck myself and stuff.
Yeah, yeah. We're going to announce how everyone can get to that on Saturday. Yeah. One week from tonight. At 9 p.m. Central, we're doing the blowout. It won't be quite as out of control as it could be. We're going to have a lot of people here in studio, so I don't want it to be so out of control that you can't hear what people are saying. But it'll be a good time. We're going to do the wedding, and it is uncut. It is Savage Saturday, so anything can happen. So it will be pretty special.
Yeah, and plus, another one I want to miss Merry Christmas to is Joanne, the key to magic. And, I get along with her because she is what she is, and she makes no bones about it, and I respect that, you know? I mean, you know, God bless. Oh, so what? She sucks dick for a living, you know? My neck wasn't shot and the money was right, I'd probably suck dick for a living, but, you know, that's beside the point.
That is awesome.
Yeah. But, you know, she is what she is, and she calls it right down the fucking line, and we get along because there's no pretext there. She's aside from what she is. I actually think she's one hell of a woman. So, and I'm saying that with all due respect. It's not like I, you know, don't want to fuck her, because I probably would if I was in good shape. But, you know, I know she'd just leave my broken body in her wake.
That's right.
You know, I can only just fantasize about shit like that. Because, I mean, you know, what the hell? What'd she call me? I'm her monkey bitch?
Yeah.
Yeah. Great t-shirts up. 42nd Street Pete on the front, monkey bitch on the back.
That's right.
I'll fly off the shelves. So, what else do we got? Well, you know, that whole thing's going to be, we got to moderate this thing Saturday because these people get so out of fucking hand. I back off because it just becomes a fucking train wreck. You can't have, if it's going to be me, you, and Joanne as the anchor.
Yeah.
Say like that. You can't have no more than two other people on at the same time.
Yeah, it's difficult. It's difficult. But we're going to have so many people in the studio, and we're going to have, because we got a party that's going to be going on out in the other part of the studio, and then we're going to be here in the actual studio proper, and then there's an adjacent room where we're having the party at also. I'm going to put a speaker out there so people can listen to the show, and there will be a microphone out there too so people can talk and stuff like that, and it'll be a lot of fun.
You people getting all this done at home so you can get ready for this shit? Because, you know, it's like back in the day, my whole routine was, if I was going to do this show back in the day, I'd be segueing New Year's Eve right into New Year's Eve night. So you can just imagine the shape I would be in when we do this. And that's going to be like 10 o'clock my time till 1 o'clock in the morning my time.
Yep.
So, which is going to be interesting.
That's true.
But, you know, the whole point is with the message boards and shit, I'm not fucking going on message boards anymore. I'll go on this one because of what it's going to be, hopefully. But you waste more fucking time dealing with bullshit. And I mean real bullshit, egomaniacal bullshit, and know-it-alls and this and that and the other thing. I don't give a fuck what anybody reads in certain aspects of life, because if you weren't there at that given moment or in that area at that given moment, at that given time span, what the fuck do you really know? And I get tired of hearing shit like that. So somebody goes, I heard some really weird description of a grindhouse. And I'm like, this is not a grindhouse. This is a shoebox theater. Or a storefront theater because of the chairs and shit. But oh no, this is an expert who calls it a grindhouse. One thing I never said about grindhouses, I don't think I ever mentioned this, was they had a very velour interior. And by what I mean by that is that everything was in deep burgundy or purples. Very deep burgundies or very deep purples. Because that's what made it so ominously dark. And that's what made the viewing even better, because you never had any fucking light coming in.
Right.
So that was, you know, what I always left that out, because I never, you know, you go over what you say sometimes and you realize that you omitted some stuff that you thought was not, you know, pertinent then. But then it actually is pertinent, because even the ones that still had the curtain that would close in between movies, the curtain was a burgundy velvet curtain.
Right.
So... yeah, it was very velour, I called it, you know.
There you go. And, hey, that's cool. But you're right. It really was.
So that's what a grindhouse was. It was a very old, formerly opulent theater that had fallen into disrepair. But they weren't about to replace anything. Unless they twinned the fuckers. Then that, you know, we all know what happened with that shit. So.
Exactly.
Yeah. But that was just one of my little peeves about shit. And then something else about exposing certain aspects of the business that shouldn't be exposed, like how certain people make money and where they sell their shit. And I'm like, you know something? This is fucking retarded. I'm out of here.
There you go.
So, to bring anybody up to date who cares to be brought up to date on what I'm actually going to do, is I'm not really looking to transfer anything more right now. I, like I said, out of what, you know, was going on with that, I just, you know, went up there. We did wraparounds Wednesday night, and we did them for Night at the Venus, which is going to be probably, I don't know, I guess the way scheduling goes, maybe mid next year. And it's basically, it's three films that I saw at a Night at the Venus that I wound up acquiring, you know, one way or another. And it's Flesh of the Lotus with John Holmes, Teenage Fantasies with Renee Bond, and The Horny Landlady with Vanessa Del Rey, Sharon Mitchell, and Bobby Esther. And they're going to run exactly the way they would run. Straightforward, you know, no break in between, no nothing, no interruptions. And I just did a whole, you know, sort of like a history off the top of my head in the beginning, little thing at the end, and, you know, that's the way that one's going to go. And then we had something. I was trying to finagle this into mainstream, but, you know, I was in the minority on this one. It's going to be called 42nd Street Pete's Extreme Bondage Collection. And basically what it is, it's not hardcore. It's softcore, you know, B&D, S&M scenarios played out, which I guess, you know, see, the whole thing is, Todd, I'm so fucking jaded. This shit don't faze me anymore, but you show it to other people and it fucking horrifies them. So.
Yeah, I can understand.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's going to go on the after-hours thing, and then we're going to have this. We didn't really come up with a thing, but we call it the Awesome Nudie Collection, which fucking ain't going to fly. But your girl's in it, Fourushi Loops.
All right.
Fourushi Loops, the Marilyn Monroe stag loop, some bondage, some wrestling, some spanking, you know, the complete package. Who the fuck knows? But, you know, I'm not popping up after every loop in those last two because it becomes redundant. There's more, you know, it's more, you know, I know if some people like it and some people don't, we might just basically limit my appearing all the time in there because maybe too much of me ain't a good thing with certain people, but, you know, we're not averse to fucking doing something down the road like some weird little comedic project which might work. So, but we'll see. You know, if I feel it's I gotta go by my gut on a lot of things, and if I feel it's pertinent to pop up after each one, I'll do it. All right. Right now, I didn't feel it was pertinent to pop up, you know, after each one at this stage. I'm experimenting with certain things because, you know, maybe some things are better that they just run straight through. So
right,
we'll see. But two of it just came out now. I just got the advanced copy of the Sleazy Grindhouse Picture Show 2. Which I call it A Night at the Harem, which was another, that was the other actually all night porn grinder, 24/7. This place never closed, where the Venus closed from at 7 in the morning until 10 in the morning. Closed for like, eight, 2 hours, 3 hours.
Yeah, so, yeah.
Harem never closed, always ran. So I found four features that played at the Harem. And they're not, you know, the killer part is, you know, you do this stuff and then it, you know, it takes a while for it to come out, and it, like, slips your mind, and you get it back, and, like, the films aren't bad. They really aren't. I got this one called Tattooed Lady, which is really well shot, and Hawaii Sexo, which we all know is a takeoff on the old Hawaii 50.
Right.
But they actually had a helicopter in this one.
Oh, that's cool.
And it was actually shot, you know, in, looks like Hawaii. I don't know, you know.
Wow.
But it was funny, because they got this Asian bad guy, Hung Tong, or something like that. It's fun. There's some funny shit in there. There's some really, really good stuff. And then, the fuck was the other one?
Hard telling.
Oh, shit. You know something? I can reach over here and grab the fucker. It's right sitting right behind me. I'm just. Yeah, okay. Tattooed Lady was the first one. Hawaii Sexo. Love Lies Waiting. This one was a California one, and, this one and the other one after this, JJ's Place, actually still have the credits on. The other two don't because they were, like, chewed off by those shitty projectors.
I see.
This one's about a whorehouse in California. And it's they're fucking pretty hot chicks. Well, the 70s shit was great, man. And they all end up at JJ's Place. This is, like, the typical, you know, black on white porn. them, you know, just, you know, hanging around, snorting coke, smoking weed, drinking beer, and fucking trashy white chicks. So, yeah, that rounded it out. And I just watched it the other night, and it came out really good. So, that should be available on the catalog now. It's the official title is 42nd Street Pete's Sleazy Grindhouse Picture Show 2. And also, I keep forgetting to do this, and Mike wants to kick my fucking ass for this. They do a podcast, December's podcast, and there's still time to catch it, is a really good interview with me conducted by Michael Bowen, who is another Grindhouse film historian. He's got a really great knowledge of the subject. And it's at alternativecinema.com, I believe. It's runs about, you know, maybe close to an hour. But, you know, I do these things, then I forget I do them, then I get, you know, then they, oh, well, here's what you did. I'm like, wow, this is really fucking cool. So, yeah, if you want to hear some really good stories and some history about 42nd Street and Times Square and stuff, alternativecinema.com, check out the December podcast. You know, and, you know, they might even hold it over to January. I don't know, but I just completely slipped my mind because so much shit's going on that, yeah, got to promote that. And when I forgot another happy Merry Christmas to, I call us the Dumpster Three. Rob from Wild Eye Cinema, Britton, and me. And you know the story, and I can't really tell it on the air because I'd be getting my ass into a load of shit in trouble. But, boys, I wish you guys the best. Your friends. Rob's always been in my corner, so is Britton. I mean, we had one crazy fucking summer with this whole deal, and it was like, hey, it was fun to be doing something again, as nuts as it was, you know, climbing through that shit in the rain and the dark and everything. And, you know, it just, you know, just reminded me of the good old days. But, hey, it saved us a lot of fucking grief, didn't it? So, to you guys, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, and we'll be hanging out soon.
Oh, shit. That's funny. You nut.
Oh, and here's probably, I'm going to go, you know something? Let me see if anything else came up on this, because there's a really fucking wild story going around. At first, we thought it was fake, but then it turned out to be confirmed. Now, everybody knows I follow a lot of wrestling and shit. And there's an outfit that was always been running down in Philadelphia called CZW, Combat Zone Wrestling. And it looks like one of their mainstays, Hardcore Nick Gage, robbed the bank. I'm serious. He robbed the bank. And there's a shot of this guy walking out, and the camera caught with a hood over his head, and it's Nick. And I'm like, holy shit. So I'm thinking, you know, who the hell knows? You know, there's doubles for everybody. I mean, it's people have seen doubles of me walking around. God only knows. But, all right, now the deal is he walked up to the fucking counter, slipped the teller a note saying, give me all your money or I'll shoot you. She gave him $3,000, and he left. Now, I just went on the DOI, and there's nothing, let me see what they say. It was a daylight robbery of a bank on a busy Collingwood Street Wednesday. PNC Bank inhaled any of you was hit when a man approached the teller, handed her a note stating he would shoot her if money wasn't handed over. She complied with the robber's demands and gave him $3,000. It was described as 6 foot tall, between age 25 and 35, heavy set with a beard.
Hmm.
Let me see now. Let me go more. The story has CZWfans.com message went on fire. Depending on your taste of humor, you're the good kind. Scouring what was a 16-page thread last time I checked, full of fake movie pictures and one-liners. I don't want to steal anyone's jokes, so if you have time. Yeah, you know, that's several people, including reporter Anthony de Blasio, have claimed to have called the police who identified a bank robber. Let's see. What the fuck? Yes, this guy must be a real douche. Yes, you CZW marks, your god Nick Gage has robbed a New Jersey bank. Yours truly sent a shitload of information to the Camden County Prosecutor's Office. We offered up his address, his brother's address, and other tidbits. Did I do it because it was the right thing to do? Nah, just bored. This guy's a douche.
A lot of douches out there. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. A lot of douches out there.
Well, it gets worse because now if you check, it says they're posting tweets from CZW's Drew Gulag. Drew Gulag is going nuts about the story, making funny, depending on your sense of humor, one-liners about Gage's situation. This has brought Justice Payne out. Gage's brother is making physical threats at Gulag on Facebook. Yeah. Okay. The only original material I got for you right now is perhaps Gage, one half of the meaningless JPW tag belts. The belts change fast and the people change their underwear, assuming that you guys do that. They needed to get some money for Jay. Oh, shit. They're saying fucking rob the bank to support the promotion. At press time, Gage has not been caught by the cops yet or has turned himself in. You do hope that Gage just turns himself in. If a guy who has spent most of his career wearing a bandana over his face didn't even bother to wear a bandana over his face for a bank robbery, this is obviously not a person thinking rationally right now. You don't want to see this turn into a fatal situation. Obviously, I'm not a lawyer, but you would have to think that robbing a bank via gunpoint and only getting $3,000 would give you less jail time than someone who did the same thing and made off with $1 million. You would also have to think if you turn yourself in, you were showing your every remorse for what you did, perhaps you'd receive less jail time. Currently, this story is being talked about. Many on the roster, bullshit, let's see. Well, CZW has had a more stable business ever since DJ has taken over. This is the second, this is the second CZW wrestler to commit a bank robbery, the other being Eddie Valentine. This is also a company that saw two of their stars pass away, and it was a tragic death that took place during a session at a school. For Gage, the best defense would be to turn himself in, apologize, and say he needed the money to buy X-Men presents for his children and hope for the best.
Jeez.
We really hope this doesn't take a turn for the worse. Yeah, no shit.
Man.
Yeah, I don't know. I thought it was a fucking, you know, people pull shit. I thought it was a fucking, you know, rib at first, and I'm like, holy shit.
That's just crazy, dude.
Yeah. But it's weird times, you know, weird times.
This is true. This is true.
Yeah. So, God, what else we got?
That's too much, man. That's just too much.
I know. That had to end out the year. That's probably the wackiest thing I heard. Because like I said, when I heard it this morning, I'm going, nah, nobody's, you know. Then I'm thinking, all right, what did he get? I'm like, $3,000? You get more than that hitting a fucking gas station, probably.
Yeah.
God. I don't know. That's fucking delusional.
Makes you go, what the hell, man?
Well, if anything breaks, well, of course, we're not going to be able to get it into you, you know, tonight. But, you know, next week, if anything develops on that, I will keep you abreast.
And a toe, too.
Yeah. So. Jeez. Nikita and I will keep you abreast.
There you go.
Yeah.
What a mess, man. What a mess.
It sucks. What is it? Christmas just brings out the fucking worst in people?
Yep.
I noticed that at the post office that people were dicks to me all fucking season because they bring in a lot of shit. But I bring in a lot of shit every day on a daily basis. It wasn't like I was doing more or less business December than I was in October. So, and then the worst part is, you know, a woman in line with a fucking walker and they're not letting her go up to the front. Nobody behind the counter can make that determination. So I do it because I don't care what people think of me. Fuck them.
That's awesome. Like,
when these fucking cunts are arguing over fucking... Oh, sorry, I shouldn't have said... I can say cunt, it's my show.
It is over your show.
Stupid... do you have any stamps with wreaths on them? I don't want the ones with trees. I want wreaths. And tying the guy up for 10 fucking minutes going through a book looking for a fucking stamp. Damn. Make them all one thing. Nobody's got any choice. Or better yet, make them with fucking neon skull and crossbones on them. Make that the forever stamp.
That's awesome.
Say. That's what I fucking say. Bullshit. You know, it's weird. You know, the whole thing is I feel good about what I did. And I'm like, yeah, I'm not blowing my horn, but I, you know, thanks to me, you know, some kids are going to have a good Christmas tomorrow, which, you know, makes a lot of fucking bullshit in life worthwhile.
I agree.
A lot of people don't understand, you know, that they're so wrapped up in technology and wrapped up in their own fucking bullshit that they don't understand. As long as you've got a roof over your head, food in your stomach, and a little bit of money in your pocket, you're probably 100 times better off than most people in the world. And yet you don't realize that. And the sad part is, you know, it's a holiday weekend, you know, you should maybe look in and reflect at what you got and then maybe what you got, what you really don't fucking need, that maybe you can make a difference in some, you know, I'm preaching now. It's like, okay, the Reverend 42P, maybe you can make a difference in somebody else's life that otherwise wouldn't understand anything at all. Like, God's honest truth, people know what I did. I'm not going to repeat myself, but those kids will never know who I am, and I'll never know who they are.
Exactly.
So, did I do it to get myself over? No. Did I do it for recognition? No. I did it because somebody had to fucking do something. And I consider myself very lucky this year that I was in the right place at the right time to get out of a seriously deep fucking hole and maybe be able to breathe the air for a while. And in my mind, I'm not even saying I reciprocated because I do it all the time this time of year, but, it just gave me more leverage to do a lot better and, reach a lot more people that otherwise, like I said, would have a really shitty fucking Christmas. So,
yep.
That's one thing. But, like I said, a lot of people are so completely fucking wrapped up in their own shit, and it's like they can't see. It's a greed thing, and unfortunately in this country we have the greed shoved down our throat because we all got, everything's too fast. You got to have better this, better that, better the other thing. I told people, I go, I don't want anything for fucking Christmas, and I really don't. Because what are you going to give me? Another DVD that's going to go on this pile that I may never live long enough to watch? Or another T-shirt with something fucking vulgar written on it that I can't, wear in public? And don't get me wrong, I don't mind fucking grossing out the public, but, even I at times have to rein it in, especially with the political climate, all this shit today. But when New York, anything goes. But, it's like anything else. I don't really need anything. Oh, I do need something, but it may be an unattainable fucking thing, And I'm not even going to go into that, but people listening to me may understand what I mean. But I don't really need anything. I need peace of mind. I'll tell you what I don't need. I don't need to have the existence I have now taking care of a fucking person with Parkinson's disease. I don't need to be have to be the fucking person everybody fucking leans on. I'm tired. I don't need it. I'm not saying I don't want to do it. My problem is I have to do it, and I don't like being told what to do. But you know something? All life ends. It's that simple. I have to accept that, and other people have to accept it. And sometimes I pull no punches and make no bones about it. And, unfortunately, they're at the end of their road. They didn't plan it well. Not that I may plan mine well. I don't know. We all fuck up in life. But unfortunately, now I'm dealing with the burden of that. And not being a prick, it is a burden. And there's other ways that this could have been done, but they don't want to do them because now it's like they lean on me. And people don't realize how fucked up and rough that is because, as much as I would want to get involved with somebody and have a relationship, right now I can't because this is taking fucking center stage and other people don't realize that. So I had to throw that out there too because somebody just, we were having a real weird conversation because me, Mike, and Joe went out to eat after that and, something about how judgmental people are. And I says, well, yeah, I know because I get the fucking problem with that too. And, there are people out there that I want to get out to meet, like I said, and hopefully I will. But unfortunately right now, this is taking center stage, and I'm going to have to make some fucking hard decisions after the first of the year about how I'm going to deal with this because it's almost put me down twice. So it's rough to see that it's your parents, and it's a really hard fucking thing to deal with. But sometimes in certain aspects, I think the real personality comes out, and it's not very nice, so it's disheartening at best, but fuck that. I got to do what I got to do. So, and a lot of people wouldn't do what I'm doing. A lot of people would toss people in a fucking nursing home and then come back and see them. First, it would be once a week, then once a month, then once every couple months. Then you get the call, they're fucking dead. And I don't want to be like that. But I also don't want to end up dead myself. So I got to start really thinking.
Exactly.
So, in that respect,
got to be careful.
Yeah, well, it ain't easy. None of this shit's easy. And, the funny part is I said something, we're arguing about this, and I says, yeah, I'll be there to take care of that, and I'll be there to take care of that. But I says, at the end of the road, who's going to take care of me? And I just said, fucking nobody. Because there ain't nobody in my life right now. So,
hey, you still got me, man.
Yeah, I know. You'll give me a decent burial, I guess, right?
I'm not going to let you die. I'll put you on a machine.
No, don't do that. That's what sucks. I mean, me and Rob were talking about that because his old man's going through some shit now, and he goes, I'm going to tell my old lady to smother me with a pillow. You know something? It's all quality of life. And I'm like, Even Dave Friedman, you know, he said last time we had talked, he just, you know, he's always pretty exuberant. He just stopped in mid-sentence and he goes, you know something, people weren't meant to live this long. And honestly, we weren't, you know. Because you think back in history, you know what being an old man back in the 1800s was? 30. You know? So, realistically, you know, we weren't meant to live this long. That's why do you think the retirement age was at 65? Because here's something you really got to think about, because I watched this happen with a few people. They couldn't wait till they got to 65 and they retired. And within retiring, within a year or two, they were dead. And everybody always wondered why. And I said, that's because they stopped. They had nothing to do. You know, they just thought they were, you know, waltz out, collect that check every month and, you know, kick back. Well, kicking back was dying, because once the reality hit them, you know, what do you do for now 24 hours a day that you're not working? And a lot of these guys, you know, like, they were a lot, you know, for lack of better words, tougher than a lot of people are today, because, you know, everybody, you know, don't forget back then there was no corporations and shit. I worked in an A&P, my first job. And these guys all worked for the A&P, and these guys were, you know, all, they were doing physical work, stocking shelves, you know, regardless of how demeaning people might think it was, and now how Mexicans do it and stuff like that. It's bullshit, because that was the way you made a living back then, because that's what was there. There was no fucking high-tech shit back then. So, yeah, these people were in good physical shape. I'd say within a year or two of them retiring, they all passed away because they just stopped. And all of a sudden, your body just said, oh, well, fuck you. So I would really never stop, because I would be bored to shit if I wasn't doing anything. I mean, much as I hate fucking eBay and doing what I'm doing now, if I stopped, where am I going to go? I made a mistake. Oh, I wouldn't. I never got along with Amazon to begin with, so that wouldn't have worked. We don't get along with eBay either, but, you know, it's the only game in town right now.
Exactly.
But, you know. See, that's why I say a lot of this shit, this is what pisses me off when I get ripped off and robbed and downloaded and shit, because legitimately with what I'm doing with you, what I'm doing with that, and what I was doing with Scars, I should have been sitting here collecting a fucking paycheck every month. That would have carried me where I could have done other shit. But, you know, unfortunately, a lot of it I blame some of these new fans, because they fucking think who they are. They come up with this fucking attitude. There's no respect. Oh, you shot 9 things on a fucking camcorder and you're a filmmaker. What have you sold? Nothing. You're not a filmmaker. You're making home fucking movies. And unfortunately, not pissing on anybody's parade, but, you know, there's some talented guys out there. But not when this, you know, not when people have the attitude that, you know, oh, I shot 9 movies, I'm a filmmaker. No, you're not, because nothing was out there. And the same with a couple people whose names I'm not going to mention, because they haven't done anything. I haven't done anything. I am not a filmmaker. I aspire to be one. But until I got something in my fucking hand, not a DVD-R, something that got the green light from a fucking, you know, small company, large company, whatever, that got a green light and got professionally replicated, I am not a filmmaker. I am a fucking wannabe filmmaker. I aspire to be. I'm not even an aspiring filmmaker, because I got nothing but a fucking script and a mind. That's all.
There you go.
So, yeah. So I'm a lot of things. I am a writer, but I can't get work, so I'm not going to do it. I am a performer to a certain extent of extent. Certain extent. With whatever the fuck. Certain extent. Okay? And people would probably, you know, want to see. I got a few things we're working on. I can't tip my hand yet. But, you know, just in general about, you know, being that there are so few of my generation left from that era that's actually willing to talk, there may be something coming up, you know. So I was thinking of something. And it may gel because the seed's been planted. And we know when I have something in writing or some kind of commitment by 3 other parties, I will announce it right here. But till then, it's a pipe dream, like anything else, like being an aspiring filmmaker. It's a pipe dream until I have the thing in front of me. And you know I could fucking do this.
Oh, of course.
So, you know, people walk up to you because you're a filmmaker. You've made shit, even though you're not doing anything now, but you've made, what, 9-10 films?
Yeah, I made a lot. I'm getting ready to do something. It's just no time.
Yeah, so, you know, that's the whole thing. But, you know, you've been there. These guys have it. It's like they can pick apart whatever they want. You know, okay, you're buying a handful of technology for $500. That doesn't make you a filmmaker. And that's why I think a lot of people who sent me shit And there's one guy up in Canada. I want to apologize to him if let me try to reach over here. Oh, fuck. Let me take the headphone.
It brings it all down.
It's about killer cups. It's just one of these. It's just one of these things. It's like you're looking at this and going, "Oh no, this is going to suck." But it was interesting, very interesting. I apologize. I can't remember. I can't remember this guy's name, but he came down to Wasteland. There was so much going on. Fuck, I can't remember. I apologize for that. I really do, because I know you were on Facebook, and all of a sudden that shit disappeared when Facebook became Nazi-ish again, or whatever. I've had pictures taken off. We've taken a picture. Click here to show you know that you've been bad, you know? You ever get that?
Nope.
No, I'm being dead serious. I have no idea what the fuck they're talking about. I put up Grindhouse posters. I got some great Grindhouse posters. I took pictures of them and put up. I don't know whether it was some of them, because I had some British sex stuff up there that was pretty cool.
Weird.
Blonde British chicks in black lingerie. Always worked for me.
But nothing.
But yeah, everybody's going to go back to Facebook now?
You mean MySpace?
Or yeah, whatever the fuck. Maybe we should make the alternative site. And you have to pass a fucking test to get admitted. In other words, you can't be one of these internet dweebs to get on whatever we create, because you will not be allowed there. As a matter of fact, we will create a special virus that will not only track you back, destroy your computer, will pop out of your fucking monitor and eat your fucking head. That sound.
There you go.
There. So, yeah. That's what we should do. A place for misfits, but, you really have to pass the test, because there's too many people masquerading as misfits. They're fuck-ups. We don't need them. There's a big difference between a misfit and a fuck-up.
You crack me up, man.
It's the truth, though. Is there anyone I forgot? PC, Merry Christmas. I forgot her. Julie, Merry Christmas. Hugh, Merry Christmas.
We got a lot of family around this place.
I'm Iris out Rockaway, Merry Christmas. Me and him go way back. Shoot him on the show, tell Pete stories, I'll probably get fucking arrested.
There you go, yeah.
That's what we need. Oh, yeah, I know. Yeah, remember that, yeah. I could write just a book on the Rockaway fucking deal. Oh, holy shit. That may be part two if I ever do part one. Yeah. I keep saying I'm going to do this. The deadline's approaching. Am I going to knuckle down? I don't know.
You're a nut.
I got to figure out. I got to get my priorities in order. I really do. We'll see, though. Maybe we got next week. Next week should be. Do you think this is going to be a giant clusterfuck?
I don't know.
You're going to have 30 people in the studio. I mean, what the hell?
I'm going to have a lot of people in the studio, but it's going to be
cool.
Are
they connected with the show, though, or what?
Yeah, they've got their own shows, or they're connected somehow.
How many people live in that area and have their own shows? You got, like, Hillbilly Central out there?
Yeah! We got quite a few people with their shows here.
So who's going to be anchoring this thing?
I guess I'll be anchoring it. Trying to anchor it, and you'll be anchoring it too. We're going to be co-anchoring it.
Okay.
You're going to anchor it from your part of the country, and I'm going to anchor it from my part of the country.
Then Joanne's going to anchor it from her part of the country.
That's right.
Yeah. And she's probably got the pussy to drop the anchor in too.
You're just so wrong, man.
It's the truth.
Oh Lord.
We were talking about before we went on the air about being stuck in her vagina and looking at her ankles. come on, let's face it. Coming with fucked up statements on the air. I don't give a shit.
Devil.
See, I don't, it's like, I don't give a fuck because I'm tired of all the judgmental horse shit. You believe what you want to believe. I'm fucking around, okay? It's crude and vulgar, but, I'm being me. I'm being real. I'm not pretending to be something.
That's right.
I can be polite in person, that.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's the whole thing, I mean. It's the difference between me drinking a bottle of this fucking kangaroo wine and a bottle of Pepsi.
There you go.
You know what the difference is?
Nope.
I never asked the hotel clerk to blow me after drinking a bottle of Pepsi.
Uh-huh.
So,
that's
yeah.
Awesome.
I can be... I've never really been fucking out and out rude to anybody. Except on the air when I ripped up Casey Scott on your show. That was a lot of fun. That was classic. You should have that archived.
Oh, it's going to be. It's going to be eventually.
You have that still?
Yeah, I've still got it.
We should fucking air that on here.
Yep, we should.
Yeah, really, like a blast from the past. Yeah, and alert our friends over at the board. I'm not going back on it. Yeah, here we go again. Yeah, that would be funny. How long was that? That was about 10 minutes, wasn't it?
Yeah. It was.
Yeah, we should do that again. Yeah, you definitely should dig that out. We should just, like, throw that up at one show. Have something else. How many years ago was that? Like, 3 years ago?
It was a long time ago, yeah.
Was it 4 years ago we did that?
Yeah, it was a while.
Anybody listening, this was the deal. It was this guy, his name's Casey Scott, and what happened was I put out this film called Dear Pam, which was a John Holmes film, and we researched it, and there was no copyright. It was public domain, so we copywrote on it. So I have been going back and forth with this kid. I didn't really know how fucked up he was. So he sends me this email, basically his own cease and desist, that he's friends with Roberta, and you better pull this release before it gets off ugly, and attached to all these, like, look like legal documents. So I'm like, number one, I'm not the guy to be sending this to. And number two, you didn't want it to get ugly. Well, the minute you sent me this thing, it got ugly because you had no business sticking your nose in this shit. You're a friend of Roberta's. Great. Okay, what do you drink with her? So I hear she's a Whiskey a Go-Go girl or whatever. But anyway, I email it to Mike Razzo. Then Razzo proceeds to tell me he's had problems with this guy also with something about removing credits off an IMDb thing or something. Just bullshit. So now I'm finding out more and more shit like this. So Synapse had a problem. Everybody at AV Maniacs had a problem with him. So that's when I called you up and I, you know, basically asked you for airtime. And it was like, basically you had to sit back and just, as long as I didn't drop the F-bomb, I was good. I fucking dissected this kid. You know, number one, he claims to be a grindhouse expert. He was a 23-year-old kid who was admittedly gay, but got off watching hetero porn, whose beef with me is that I didn't readily identify male porn stars. Well, I don't suck dick, so why should I? I don't watch porn films to see a guy's dick, so why should I? You know, I do to a certain extent, but I'm not going to try to match a dick with a face, for crying out loud. So anyway, we're going back and forth with this. So I basically demolished him on Night Watch. I mean, I had absolutely positively no mercy without dropping any F-bombs and stuff. And I had evidence in front of me that I was reading off of the shit he pulled with people. So the weird thing is nobody's seen him since, but somebody surfaced on Amazon giving me shit. And I said, you just really sound suspicious, like somebody else I had a problem with. All of a sudden, Amazon killed that, and I haven't heard from him since. So
there you go.
And another dipshit. I'm going to say that because I talked to this guy like a gentleman down at the Pioneer about what happened. And he has a website called DVD Drive-In. And from what I'm gathering, he doesn't review anything put out by Pop Cinema since that. So, oh, wow. Who are you hurting? You're certainly not hurting me because I don't think anybody I know even goes to that website. And you know something? I will continue to say this, and like, even when I call myself a critic, and now I'm just a content provider, but when I would call myself a critic, I said, go see it yourself and form opinions because this is only my opinion, and my opinion is like an asshole. Everybody has one. Well, some people really feel their opinion should be taken at face value, and some people should just shut the fuck up, especially when it comes to 70s shit. Sit back and let the movie speak for itself. That's what they should do, but they don't. Oh, we're experts. You're not fucking experts. I don't give a shit, you know? And this whole deal, you got to sit there and realize that what I'm talking about and what I have said is, you can etch it in stone, because the late 60s, I'm just going to say, from the 60s to maybe the mid 80s, that was the golden age of American filmmaking. Matter of fact, I'm just going to say it was the golden age of filmmaking altogether, because everything all over the world just fucking worked in sync with that whole thing. I know we're running out of time. I would like to wish everyone from the bottom of my heart, and this is in all sincereness, you know, no bullshit, everybody a Merry Christmas and a very happy and healthy New Year. And stay sick, the stay sick thing only applies when you're doing, you know, crazy shit. But you know something, be safe, be well, and tune in next week because I have no fucking idea what's going to happen.
Second Street Pete's Grindhouse is a production of Jackalope 105 FM.
Do you feel that? Oh, shit. Get up, come on, get down with the sickness. Get up, come on, get down with the sickness. Get up, come on, get down with the sickness. Open up your hate and let it flow into me. Get up, come on, get down with the sickness. You mother, get up, come on, get down with the sickness. You fucker, get up, come on, get down with the sickness. Madness is the gift that has been given to me. I can see inside you the sickness is rising. It seems that all that was good has died. Oh no, the world is a scary place. Now that you've woken up the demon in me.
Bobby, will you give it to me?
2, 3, 4.
Get up, come on, get down with the sickness. You mother, get up, come on, get down with the sickness. You fucker, get up, come on, get down with the sickness. Open up your hate and let it flow into me. Why can't you just fuck up and die? Get down with the sickness. Fuck you, I don't need this shit. I'm down with the sickness. You stupid, sadistic, abusive fucking organ. Down with the sickness. Here it comes.
Come on, here we go again, motherfucker, yeah, yeah, yeah. Come on down and see the idiot right here. Too fucked to beg and not afraid to care. What's the matter with calamity anyway? Right, get the fuck out of my face. Understand I can't feel anything. It isn't like I want to sift through the decay. I feel like a wound, like I got a fucking gun against my head. You live when I'm dead. People equals shit. People equals shit. People equals shit. People equals shit. Come on. Me now, so fuck it. Blood on my face and my hands, I don't know why. I'm not afraid to cry, but that is none of your business. Overdo it, don't tell me you blew it. Stop your bitching and fight your way through it. I'm not like you, I just fuck up. Come on, motherfucker, everybody has